News with Nick. It's 10:30 a.m. on December 30th, 2018. We're here for the last show of the year, unless I just record all New Year's Day, like I sometimes do. Just kidding. We are live on the pukeinthegang.com/live YouTube channel, which is the live YouTube channel for the show Puke in the Gang, except now I'm the only one that streams on it because that show now streams on the School Sucks podcast. So everyone sort of shifted one, and then School Sucks is going to loop back around and stream on the News with Nick live stream channel, which doesn't even actually exist. So we'll create one just for School Sucks so that we all like share a stream, you know, because apparently it's too hard to change the channel key in OBS for the other show. Anyway, moving on. On December 26, 2018, approximately 12:17, this is a local news story, by the way, the Charleston Police Department received a report of a suspicious male in Patch Park. The unknown male approached two young girls who were there playing. The male made comments to the girls in an apparent attempt to entice the girls to go with him. The girls ran home and notified a parent. I wonder how that goes. He walks up. He's like, "Hello, would you like to come with me in my car?" And they look at each other and they go, "This is what we've been warned. We've been training our whole life for this." And they just sprint down the street. An officer responded and searched the area, but was unable to locate a suspect. Is it illegal to say, "Hello, girls, come with me"? Like, what if he really literally wanted to just take them for ice cream? Is it illegal to take two girls for ice cream and then bring them back? The description of the male is as follows. He's approximately 6 feet tall, thin build, black long-sleeve shirt with tattered sleeves, blue jeans with brown belt, dark hair, and wearing a mask. So everything up to that point seems normal, and then it says wearing a mask, possibly a knit ski type. So the type, is it the type that has the eyes and the mouth? So everything looks completely normal, except he looks like a robber when he walks up to them. He's like, "Hello, let's go." Anyone with information is asked to contact the Charleston Police Department. So most likely that man will never be caught. That is the first news story of the day. If you guys want to watch the video version of the show, head on over to newswithnick.com. You can click on the episode and you can click on the YouTube video. Now, in the video version of the show, as I always say, I do not edit. So if I mess up or I have to take a pause, it all goes into the live version. So there's several minutes of stuff that is added there, basically silence or me redoing something. Now, I don't edit a lot, right? But if I have to take a pause or pull up a link, I'll just edit out the silence it took to do that. Right, everyone? Sweet. You can also read race results and check out some Nick Ryder tips. Newswithnick.com. We have a like. Okay, yeah, sweet. Someone liked the link that we were going live. This is breaking news right now. Jet bridge incident at Baltimore Airport leaves 6 injured. And by breaking news, I mean it happened last night. A partial equipment failure involving a jet bridge at the Baltimore International Airport on Saturday left 6 people injured. The airport tweeted that the 6 people were taken to local hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. So anyway, I've been to this airport a lot, and it was for a Southwest flight, and that's the only flights I take. So let's listen to an interview with one of the passengers.
They asked if there were any doctors or nurses on board because there was a woman not feeling well, and several people went back. They didn't hear what happened.
Okay, the audio quality is terrible. So basically, this passenger is saying that there was a sick person on board. Now, this has happened to one of my flights. They have a sick person, and then they call ahead, and they go, "Oh, by the way, paramedics are going to meet the ill person at the gate, and that person will get off first," right? So that.
But when we landed, medical attention, and we did, and she actually walked of her own volition off the plane with some paramedics with her.
Everyone said, "Like, we hope you feel better." And she was like, "Thank you, everyone.
She thanked us for our patience."
So, quick tip: if you want to get off the plane quick, just pretend to be ill or having a stroke, and you get to be the first one off.
Patience. And about 2 seconds
literally
after
right after
she walked out, there was this loud crash.
Like multiple seconds long, just like
the whole
everyone was staring at each other, like really, because we were so worried about the woman. We thought she fell, like
it was traumatic, and everybody rushed to the front of the plane, and the flight attendants were like, please sit down, and nobody knew what was going on.
Okay, so there's an ill woman on the flight. Paramedics come and take her off, and as they're taking her off, like walking her off, the jet bridge fails. Doesn't sound like it fully collapsed, but I wonder if like one of the legs broke or something, and it went, and like they got thrown about in the jetway. Now that's crazy, because that was completely unrelated to there being a medical emergency, as far as we know, unless like the ambulance drove into the jetway while it was coming to pick up the lady, right? So that's complete luck that it happened to occur during a medical emergency. That could have been everyone could have been deplaning at the same time. It could have been like 20 people and it collapses and they all roll into each other. And now what if there was a lady in a wheelchair? I've been behind them before going up the jetway. It is so slow. They can't get over those bumps. People have to get a running start to push up these old ladies. If that jetway collapsed and there were like three old ladies in wheelchairs, they'd have all rolled backwards into the tarmac. They would still be rolling. Anyway, that would have been awful and hilarious. Arlington Newborn weighs in at 14 pounds, 13 ounces. Now, this is not normally an interesting story. However, there's some info about it. Allie's parents, Jennifer and Eric Medlock, are both music teachers in the Arlington Independent School District. Jennifer says the hospital told them their son was a record breaker for Arlington Memorial and the biggest baby their doctors delivered in his 30-plus career. So it says it's a record-breaking baby. It's a record for that hospital. It's not the biggest baby that's ever come out of a fat woman's belly button. But the baby had to remain in the NICU. That must be the nutritional intensive care unit for a week due to his size. His blood sugar and platelets were too low. According to his mother, he also experienced rapid breathing. However, baby Allie has improved since his stay at the hospital. So there's this huge baby, and I'm like, oh, okay, there's not much information in this article. Let's see if these people are on Facebook. And this is the part of the show called the listeners go to a person's Facebook page and post about the show. Go, hey, I heard about you on News with Nick at newswithnick.com. So I head on over to Eric Medlock's Facebook page, and he shares the article that says, oh, baby, Arlington newborn weighs in at 13. Like, he's like, oh, I'm famous. Okay. Needless to say, obviously, these two parents are enormous, right? And he's shared this article, and he's left it open to public comment. Always a mistake. So we scroll down, and we go, oh, okay, everyone's saying, congratulations, beautiful baby. You got a beautiful baby. It's great. And then you scroll down, and you see some person post, disgusting lifestyle. Obesity is the number one leading cause of death, and you literally created an obese baby. You stole any chance that kid has at a life by your refusal to control the few foods you eat. Kid doesn't stand a chance in life. Aha! All right, so now Jessica and Eric's... Is it Jessica or Jennifer? Anyway, I think it's Jen. Jen and Eric's friends come in and say, Lindsay White, go breed your peacocks and mind your own business. I'm not sure what that means. Someone else says, everything that happened to this mom and baby is obesity related. Diabetes, PCOs, wound infection, and they sure, but they need $1,500 on a GoFundMe page, which we'll get to in a second. Someone says, how can people be so terrible? My aunt was overweight her whole life. She lived to be 96. She always said that all my skinny doctors who told me to lose weight are dead. Okay. So let's scroll down a bit more. Let's see. Helen writes in and says, you're right. Just seeing photos of the family, you can see obesity is a problem. Even their little girl is extremely fat. I hope for the sake of their children, they change their eating habits and start exercising more. The mom writes in. The fat mom who had the baby writes in. Helen Anderson, my daughter is not overweight. You are such a bully, and I can't believe you would be so judgmental of people you don't know. I will pray your heart opens up and God heals your hatefulness. So here's a picture of the mom with the baby. They're wearing like the same color purple, and she's sitting in front of a statue. I'm pretty sure that's the mom and the baby, and I'm pretty sure the mom's thighs are as big as a baby. Except not that baby, because that baby's huge. So I'm not sure what to say. Should your thighs be as big as a baby? I'm looking down at my thighs right now. I don't think. And by baby, I don't mean newborn. Like, this one looks like two or something. But you can't tell because it's like Jabba the Hutt. Someone else writes in, looks like you can breastfeed with them man titties to the dad. Oh, boy. This is hilarious. So head on over, Eric Medlock, and post on their page about the show. So they've got a GoFundMe pulled up. Said, due to his size, he was cared for by the wonderful people at NICU at Arlington Memorial Hospital. This is called the Medlock Family Hospital Bills GoFundMe page. Let's see what the donations are up to. I'm going to have to refresh the page. Oh, I see what happened. Okay, hang on. This is actually breaking right now. Last night, there was a campaign up for $150,000. It is gone. I refreshed it. It is gone. I have another link. I have a new link, $50,000. They lowered it by $100,000 because people were writing in going, how could you be asking for so much money? Oh, sorry, I just made a mistype on my computer. I didn't mean to ask for $150,000, right? No. They're backpedaling live on the show. All right, Allie is a blessing, to be certain, but his size caused complications for himself and mom. Baby Allie stayed in the hospital for a week. Devastatingly, on the same day he went home, mom was readmitted to the hospital for a severe infection of her C-section wound. Oh, God. Oh, what's a C-section? I know what it is, right? You cut open a person instead of having it a birth through the vaginal canal. But if you're huge, like, do they have to use a chainsaw or something? Like, do you have to use bigger tools if you have to cut through 5 pounds, 5 inches or 10 inches of fat before getting to the baby? Oh, God. Oh. We trust in God will watch over the healing and protection of this lovely family, but as his hands and feet, we also believe we can play a part in easing the financial burden of the exorbitant medical costs accrued in the last month. If you are able, please consider providing a gift to help keep costs manageable. Thank you and God bless. All right, everyone head over to the GoFundMe and donate $5 and say newswithnick.com in the notes. I don't know. We got to take advantage of this through every means possible. People are mad about this. President Trump tells a 7-year-old child it's marginal to still believe in Santa Claus. So let's listen to the live audio. So I don't even know why people are doing this. Sorry, I heard a truck outside. I had to check. I don't know why people call the president on Christmas, but apparently it's a thing. Like if you call the NORAD number every certain time, or I think it might be a setup because I think they had like cameras with the kid, but they'll have the kid call and then the president will answer and he'll talk to a kid for a second. Be like, oh man, you love Christmas, huh?
Are you still a believer in Santa? Because at 7 it's marginal, right?
Well, Twitter lit up like the fireplace just behind him with messages criticizing the president for casting doubts on a cherished childhood fantasy.
Are you still a believer in Santa? Because at 7, it's marginal. I'm not even sure what that means, nor does anyone who's 7. Trump and First Lady Melania made an Do you still believe in Santa? Trump said to a child calling into the federal government. At 7, it's marginal, right? And then people are mad. So we talk about that for hours. Whatever. Let's read this story quick. I don't even know what this is. Christmas Day barricade situation ended in an unusual manner after the East Vincent Township SWAT team used a different tactic, singing a Christmas carol. Authorities say that Nathaniel Lewis was behaving erratically due to separating from his wife. When police arrived, they found out that Lewis had a gun, and the SWAT team was called in to help defuse the situation. During the 10-hour standoff, the Chester County DA posted on Facebook that he came to the scene and handed out Christmas cookies to cold and tired SWAT members. An hours-long standoff ensued with Lewis firing at police officers from a second-story bedroom. Bullets struck the side of an armored police vehicle, a civilian's vehicle, and a nearby home. We were putting our kids to bed around 9 and heard what we thought was fireworks, said a neighbor. Then a SWAT team rushed them and their kids into a basement saying they were responding to a barricade situation with the neighbor. All right, let's see. 9 hours later, Lewis demanded a negotiator sing him White Christmas. 4 verses later, he came out. What? This is as close to a Christmas miracle as you're going to get. Everyone got to go home to their families that day. What? Not that guy. Not the shooter. Shooter lives matter, right, everyone? Well, he wasn't even a shooter. I mean, he was shooting at things, but you know what I mean. The defendant was taken into custody, but he wasn't killed, so he did not go home to his family, which, by the way, he doesn't have a family anymore, which is why he was so mad in the first place. Taken into custody at 7 a.m. Wednesday, he's been charged with multiple counts of attempted murder, aggravated assault, and other offenses. So the whole story is that 9 hours into a standoff, he was like, can someone please just sing me a Christmas carol and I'll come out? Like, okay, fine. You guys, you guys have VR yet? Sorry. Ugh, I'm bad at transitions. Holy crap. I've been playing 2 video games I'm going to do a quick review on. The first is this video game called Recursed. It is from an independent developer, and it has terrible graphics. And here's the music that plays all throughout the entire thing. It is currently $2.71 on Steam if you want it. It is a puzzle game in 2 dimensions. However, it's hard to explain what you do. You grab these chests. Each chest is a room. You can jump into the rooms, which creates a room. You can leave the room, which destroys the room. But then you can move the chests to other rooms and then jump into them in different orders, which causes, obviously, you to be able to move resources around and solve the puzzles. And I found it to be a very positive review, like it says here, but only 144 reviewers. So it's not a popular game. And it doesn't have a big online following either. It just happens to be well-designed, let's say, even though the graphics are very minimal. But you can play it pretty much any computer, which is the best. Also, last night I tried out the Wrench demo in VR. So Wrench is supposedly going to be a game where you like run a race car shop and you fix engines and stuff. But the demo is out only where you're supposed to be able to build an engine. So you look at a tablet, it tells you what you're supposed to do, and you put the parts together and put an engine together. And it's actually relatively realistic in that there's parts that are like pre-assembled, but the individual parts are still there in the sense that you could take it apart. Like say there's 2 parts and they're bolted together. You can still take the bolt out of that and then separate the part again, just like IRL. So that's pretty cool. So I'm building this engine and I get ahead of myself and I put on like a valve cover, I guess it's called. And then after I look at that, I go, uh-oh, but I didn't attach the head to the block. And I'm like, nah, I have to undo the valve cover, which is annoying. But obviously in VR, it's a lot easier than in real life. So you get this VR wrench, and you can either wrench it by hand, or you can turn the torque setting on, and then you press the trigger, and it spins it like an electric wrench. Now, it's super easy because you can actually phase through the engine. Like, there's no collision between the wrench and the engine parts. So if there's a bolt that's really hard to get to, you just go, you can just, like, your wrench passes through the engine. And the other thing is that there's no gravity yet. I don't know if there's going to be gravity in the real game, but there's no gravity now. So you can put the engine up at eye level, and then you can put the wrench, like, next to you, and you don't have to set it on a table or anything. It just floats in midair. And you can put all the screws anywhere around you, and like, and obviously it's much easier in VR to turn an engine completely around than in real life. So anyway, it's cool, and got through that. I didn't finish because I got stuck at one part, and I feel like there's a bug. Like I couldn't get a certain part into the thing, the Hoffman key. The little rectangle that makes the spinny thing hook onto the gear thing. Right? I couldn't get past that part. So I saved the game and we'll go back to it. Maybe I'm messing it up. So that's free, though. And now I've learned all about different parts of cars, right? I know that there's a camshaft. I know that there's an oil squirter that goes inside the cylinder, I think. All right. Walmart employee quits over the loudspeaker. Here's a video that a man called Jackson Rakioit posted on Facebook. He said, "How I quit my job today." He's in Walmart, and here's what he did. Okay, there's a little bit of silence here because he's just getting his guts up.
Attention!
Okay, I didn't notice that this happened the first time. Sorry. So he presses the phone button several times to make it beep over the loudspeaker first. So he's like, "Hello?"
Attention all shoppers, associates, and management. I would like to say to all of you today that nobody should work here, ever. Our managers will make promises and never keep them. And not only that, they will preach to us about how they care about their employees. But about a month ago, my boss, assistant manager Cora, called me a waste of time and management did nothing to help. Management will also try and save money every step of the way, including cutting benefits of a full-time associate down to part-time, even though he worked 40-plus hours a week.
You've only got one chance to do this, and you're screwing it up.
I've been a loyal employee here for over a year and a half, and I'm sick of all the bullshit, bogus write-ups, and my job. Fuck management, fuck this job, and fuck Walmart.
At first I was like, is this real or is he just talking into a camera but it's not really going out? Because you can't hear over his voice that it's going over the loudspeaker. But then at the end, there's a very clear cheer or laugh from the audience. I guess the audience is the workers of Walmart, right?
Fuck this job and fuck Walmart.
This is 3 weeks ago. He posts, "How I quit my job today, like, must watch. I also ran out of fire door. Y'all should share this around." This guy is the new guy who, like, the JetBlue employee who, like, grabbed two bottles of liquor and then pulled the emergency chute and jumped down. It was like, "I'm out. This is stupid." Hilarious. So I check out his Facebook. He posts, "Attention all Walmart associates, LOL. I need any and every person that has worked for Walmart and who feels that they were mistreated to contact me on Facebook. I have a plan, but I need your help to go through with it. Even if you never worked at Walmart, please share this post around. I need as many people as possible to see this and talk to me." So, head on over to Jackson Rakioit, RACIOT, post on his wall, "Hey, heard about you on newswithnick.com, and I'm really in support of you. You're the greatest," and also newswithnick.com supports you super duper. Six barges carrying coal have sunk into the Ohio River. So this says, two more barges have sunk into the Ohio River, spilling tons of coal into the water after a towboat hit the Second Street Bridge Tuesday. So a towboat, what's a towboat? I mean, I guess it's a boat that tows other boats, right? But was it pulling, like, a ton of barges? Anyway, that makes six of 15 barges loaded with coal that have now sunk into the river. Oh, hang on. We should have read the rest of the article to find out what's actually going on. A towboat was pushing 15. That's the problem. It's called a towboat, not a push boat. A towboat was pushing 15 coal barges when it struck the Second Street Bridge on Christmas. Of course on Christmas! It's like, "You've all been naughty. Here's a F ton of coal." Is that level one or not? I haven't heard that one yet because it's coal on Christmas. Anyway, the Coast Guard said that the water at the McAlpine Dam fell about 1 foot on Friday evening, causing two more barges to sink and another to shift. Three barges are still stuck on the dam. One of those is stuck in one of the gates of the dam. Six other barges have been recovered. Currently, one of the barges is capsized over the dam and it's preventing one of the gates from closing. So basically, they've crashed a ton of coal into a dam and everyone doesn't know what to do. Like, how do we get it out? Do we have to build another dam to stop the water going to the first one? They are working with the Army Corps of Engineers to retrieve the barges one by one and plan to stage a heavy-duty salvage equipment. Employees are working around the clock to clean up those barges, but they aren't being paid because of the federal government shutdown. All right. Chat says the coal on Christmas is not level one. Thank you. It's very nice of you. U.S. Explorer Colin O'Brady has completed an unaided solo trek of Antarctica. I thought that the world was freaking flat and that the whole Antarctica was a wall that if you go past it, you actually meet aliens on the other side. Right? An American explorer has made the first solo unsupported trek across Antarctica, an epic feat of endurance that took nearly 2 months and ended with an extraordinary sprint. Brady O'Colin. Sorry, Colin O'Brady. I was like, at first, what is Tom Brady doing in Antarctica? He covered the final 77.5 miles over 32 hours without sleep, a trek he described as an Antarctic ultramarathon. Well, technically, it is. He then called his family to tell them tearfully, I did it. Something overcame me, O'Brady said in a telephone interview. I didn't listen to any music. I just locked in. Like, I'm going until I'm done. It was profound. It was beautiful, and it was an amazing way to finish. Let's head on over to his website and see if he has an inspirational video that can inspire us all to do things that we think are impossible.
My mind, my body, my spirit. For something they say is impossible. To show you that nothing is impossible. I will be attempting a world first. A solo, unsupported, unaided crossing of Antarctica. A 1,000-mile journey across the frozen continent. This project is for anyone who has been told their dreams are impossible. Take your first step. Be possible.
Wow, I really want to go across Antarctica now. He spent 54 days in conditions that pushed his body to its limits, battling hunger, cold, and solitude. Why would you be battling hunger? Isn't the whole point that you have enough food to make it? Often trekking almost blind through driving snow, struggling over treacherous terrain, and pulling weeks' worth of supplies on a sled. The total journey was 932 miles. Adding to the pressure, O'Brady was racing Britton Lewis Rudd, a friend, across Antarctica in a competition with echoes of the famous contest to reach the South Pole more than a century ago. The two men set off together, with Rudd taking an early lead. How is it? Hang on. But by Christmas Day, he was more than 80 miles behind. So two people started, or what? That's the opposite of a solo trek. I mean, I guess it's solo once you leave the first guy. But if you talked, if you even said a single word to each other, like, hey, how's it going? Then it's not a solo trek. It shouldn't count. Because you just broke the rule of being alone. Let's see. One of the biggest problems for the two men was dragging enough food to keep themselves warm and moving. They expected to get through their, about 10,000 calories a day, which meant it was hard for them to drag enough food at the start. O'Brady took 280 personally tailored Colin bars drawn up after tests by a nutrition company looking for the smallest allergies. Wait, what? Smallest allergies? That supplied more than 1,100 calories each. So he bought these really dense bars, like they have the hobbits eating. Ooh, some of this elven bread. I'll take one bite and it'll fill my whole stomach. right? I don't think it was Elvenbread. I don't know the right word. I'm not a World of Warcraft nerd. The cold also bit more as he got weaker. Later photos show him with black tape on his nose and cheeks, used for insulation when frost nip set in. So he just covers his face with duct tape. I'm so warm now. All right, so let's check out the map of what he did. So you guys think, oh, he must have gone across Antarctica, right? That's what it just said, that he made it across Antarctica. No! Look at this map. He starts at the Rony Ice Shelf. He starts well in, because the I don't know what an ice shelf is, but maybe that's water and there's ice under it. But anyway, he starts here at this point. He goes to the South Pole, to the right. I want to say to the east, but it's a picture above the South Pole, so it's not really to the east. It's always south, no matter which direction. But he goes to the right, right? And now you would think, oh, if you're going across Antarctica, you would keep going to the right, right? But no, he turns down because there's another ice shelf called the Ross Ice Shelf, and he hits just the very tip of that. Just the, like, the closest point you could get to from the South Pole, he gets to that. So he basically took the two shortest routes from an edge to the South Pole and then back to another edge and said, oh, I hiked across Antarctica. Like, you could easily still say that the Earth is flat from this map, because he didn't even cross, like, the center, hardly. I mean, I guess the South Pole is technically the center, right? But he barely touched, like, a quadrant of Antarctica, and he said he hiked across it. Fake news! Anyway, good job, I guess. But had he gone to the right, it would have been like two times as long of a distance. I don't even know what's over there. There's probably nothing, like, to be honest, like, for 1,000-1,500 miles or something. That's crazy. Maybe there's not even cell reception, so you couldn't go there. Anyway, that's cool. Let's see. We are half an hour into the show. We are still getting to the best part. It's coming up, folks. Stay tuned. However, we still need to cover a couple more things. Mason Hulisbarger died by suicide on December 4th. His parents, devout Catholics, began planning the funeral that would celebrate his 18-year-old son's life. Blah, 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 blah. Father Don Lacusta took notes, which is the priest who is going to do the funeral. We wanted him to celebrate how Mason lived, not how he died. Instead, during the funeral, the Hullenbergers listened from the pews as the priest spoke the words suicide six times. He told mourners, local media reported, that Mason may be denied admittance to heaven because of the way he died. Lacusta wondered aloud, the Hullenberger said, if Mason had repented enough in God's eyes. He basically called our son a sinner.
Football star died suddenly last week. His parents say the homily at their son's funeral caused them even more anguish.
He made it about how he died, not about how he lived.
Well said.
The Hullabaggers told me Father Don Lacusta of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church referenced suicide more than a half a dozen times. Churchgoers also say he referenced whether Mason would make it into heaven and whether he had time to repent.
He said suicide. And I was like, we just looked at each other and I whispered to Jeff, what is he doing?
The Hullabaggers explained to me this was not the homily they discussed with the father days prior. Sensing the discomfort of his children, Mason's dad decided to take action.
So then that's when he gets up and goes to the pulpit and very respectfully whispers to him, Father, please stop.
But the Hullabaggers say Father Lacusta kept going.
He was bound and determined that this funeral was his. It was his control. It was what he was going to put out there to everyone. And we had no control over our own son's funeral. He made that very clear.
The Hullabaugers say they did gain control over the funeral at the very end. They told the priest he was not welcome at the cemetery and performed an impromptu service there.
Nice. So they kicked out the priest and, like, don't come to the burial. Still, I haven't been able to find a quote or a recording. I don't think there is probably a recording of what the priest said, nor have I been able to find a word-for-word quote. All that people say is like, oh, he kept saying that suicide is a sin and that he might not have gone to heaven because he didn't repent, right? Like, between the time of killing yourself and going to heaven, there was no time to repent, so maybe he didn't make it. Actor Kevin Spacey is facing a felony charge in an alleged sexual assault of the teenage son of former Boston news anchor Heather Unruh at a Nantucket bar in July of 2016. This is the big news story of the day, folks. The latest legal entanglement for the two-time Academy Award winner over claims of sexual misconduct. Scheduled to be arraigned on January 7th. The actor was first accused of sexual misconduct near the start of the Me Too movement, which exploded into American life in late 2017, blah, 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 blah. Spacey is being investigated after numerous sexual assault accusations, which began surfacing in the fall of 2017 and prompted his removal from Netflix's House of Cards. The charge Spacey faces carries penalties of up to 5 years in prison and up to 2.5 years in jail or house of correction and a requirement to register as a sex offender. All right. So, the information comes out that Kevin Spacey is being charged with a crime. Now, he's been accused of a lot of things. He's been accused of that thing where the guy was like, I was 14. I was just a little boy. And Kevin Spacey brought me up to a bedroom. He was super drunk, right? A ton of people have been like, Kevin Spacey, weirdo. He keeps touching me. He comes up behind me. He kisses my neck. He rubs my nips, and he's so weird at every party I've been to, right? So they're saying, yeah, he's been doing a lot of things. Now, if you're Kevin Spacey, your whole life you've just been able to do things, and people have been able have let you do it, and they've gone on to someone else and been like, that was a little weird. Then again, just because you're famous and just because you've always been able to do things doesn't mean you don't have the resources to, like, look up if that's appropriate or not, right? So anyway, he should know that that's a little weird to be doing, even if nobody ever says, hey, Kevin Spacey, famousest person in the room, get your hands off my boobs, right? So the charge comes out Christmas Eve. Same day, Kevin Spacey posts a video to his YouTube titled Let Me Be Frank, right? Which is a play on words, because Let Me Be Frank is like, let me say something straight up. And also, his most recent character is Frank Underwood in House of Cards. So he posts the video in character of the guy from House of Cards, even though he's been fired from the show, and I'm pretty sure the show has ended. Like, it's canceled. Not canceled, but like, it's come to an end and they're not ever making any more. But he makes a video in character talking to the audience, and we have to watch it. He's washing dishes.
I know what you want. Oh, sure, they may have tried to separate us, but what we have is too strong. It's too powerful. I mean, after all, we shared everything, you and I.
Uh-oh.
I told you my deepest, darkest secrets. I showed you exactly what people are capable of. I shocked you with my honesty, but mostly I challenged you and made you think. And you trusted me, even though you knew you shouldn't.
He takes a sip of coffee. Now, in the House of Cards show, if you guys aren't aware, Kevin Spacey talks to the audience a lot. He breaks the fourth wall. And that's just part of how the show is. So now he's doing it for 3 minutes. And talking to the audience, basically saying, we have a relationship and people are trying to come between us.
So we're not done, no matter what anyone says. And besides, I know what you want. You want me back. Of course, some believed everything and had just been waiting with bated breath to hear me confess it all. They're just dying to have me declare that everything said is true and that I got what I deserved. Wouldn't that be easy?
He's literally talking about the accusations against him. He's saying people are waiting for me to just come out and admit it. But no. Here's a video of me in character. This is so insane. No one would ever do this. Which actually he touches on in a moment.
Wouldn't that be easy if it was all so simple? Only you and I both know it's never that simple, not in politics and not in life. But you wouldn't believe the worst without evidence, would you? You wouldn't rush to judgments without facts, would you? Did you? No, not you. You're smarter than that. Anyway, all this presumption made for such an unsatisfying ending. And to think it could have been such a memorable send-off. I mean, if you and I have learned nothing else these past years, it's that in life and art, nothing should be off the table. We weren't afraid, not of what we said, and not of what we did, and we're still not afraid. Because I can promise you this. If I didn't pay the price for the things we both know I did do, I'm certainly not going to pay the price for the things I didn't do.
Wow.
Oh, of course, they're going to say I'm being disrespectful, not playing by the rules, like I ever played by anyone's rules before. I never did, and you loved.
Okay, so a lot of people are taking this quote out of context. I never played by the rules before, and you loved it, right? Meaning, he doesn't mean I jerked a man off and and you loved it. No, he means posting this video is against the rules. No one would ever do this. This is insane. Doubling down, not doubling down. That's not the right word here, but like taking an accusation head on and going, what? Innocent till proven guilty. Right?
And you loved it. Anyhow, despite all the poppycock, the animosity, the headlines, the impeachment without a trial, despite everything, despite even my own death...
His character died in the show.
I feel surprisingly good.
Well, he was killed off.
And my confidence grows each day that soon enough, you will know the full truth. Well, wait a minute. Now that I think of it, you never actually saw me die, did you?
He puts on a ring from the show.
Conclusions can be so deceiving.
I wonder where you got that ring.
Miss me?
Miss me? Yes. I don't know why they do that sound effect at the end. Whoever edited this video is an idiot. Hey, intern Joe, can you Google some dramatic ending music? Like, the whole thing was great, except why did they do that? I mean, it wasn't... Yeah, the whole thing was great. I'm just going to say it. This is amazing. He does it all in character, puts on a ring from the show, and even mentions in, like, plot points from the show, saying that even though they killed me off in the script... Of course, you did not see me die in the thing, right? Wow, amazing. All right, now we're going to move on, and we're going to read the criminal complaint against Kevin Spacey that has been filed. It is only 26 pages long. Here we go. Just kidding. We're only going to read a few of them. All right. Kevin Spacey is charged with indecent assault and battery on a person 14 or over. Phew. Thank goodness. At least it's not 14 and under, right? This is the interview with William N. Little. Date of birth, 1/19/98. So he is now, what, 20 years old? Will gave us the following account of what transpired between July 7th, 2016 and July 8th, 2016. This is the criminal complaint that everyone is writing their headlines about. Kevin Spacey charged with sexual battery. Kevin Spacey, there's video of him sexually assaulting a person. If you guys have seen these headlines, these are all written based on having this complaint. You might as well just read it, right? And then you'll know what the story is. Will was working at the club car in Nantucket as a busboy. He started at 4 p.m. and his shift typically ended around midnight. Will and other employees had a staff meal before he started bussing tables at approximately 5:30. It was at the beginning of his shift, or maybe in and around the staff meal, when Will learned that Spacey would be at the club car. Spacey arrived at approximately 10:30 p.m. when Will was still working. Will had heard he'd arrived and saw Spacey standing at the bar. Spacey was with his manager, who Will said was a Duke graduate. Will never waited on Spacey while he was working. Will's work attire was very formal, so he brought a change of clothes, which he changed into when his shift ended around midnight. Will said there might be an electronic time card indicating when he punched out, blah, blah, blah. Spacey and his manager were sitting at the table across from the bar near the front club, speaking with Will's friend, Nick. Speaking with Will's friend, who was Nick. Nick was the doorman and the bouncer of the club car, but was not working that night. Will pulled Nick aside to ask Nick to introduce him to Spacey, since it looked like they were hitting it off. Nick said, "I thought I would just stop by and say hello." Nick told him it wouldn't be a problem. Nick didn't believe Spacey took any pictures with people in the club car that night. Will thinks it was between 12 and 12:30 a.m. when he was introduced to Spacey. He changed up after his shift ended at approximately midnight, spoke to some coworkers, and then went over to where Spacey was sitting. Spacey was sitting at the tables across from the bar, not the bar itself. Nick introduced them, and Spacey asked where Will was from, to which Will responded, "Boston." Spacey told Will how his dog is named Boston because he got it in a hospital in Boston after the marathon bombings. Whoa! Worlds are colliding here. Spacey asked Will how old he was, and Will told him he was 23. This is an important point of the story. Spacey asked Will how old he was, and Will told him he was 23. Will was 18. Spacey asked Will where he went to school, to which Will responded he went to Wake Forest and was studying business. Will was sitting at the table with everyone at that point. Spacey's manager, Nick, and his friend were around the bar. Spacey told Will his manager could get him a job. Will spoke to the manager and tried to talk shop about business, but Will didn't know much, really. So he's trying to play it off like he knows stuff around Kevin Spacey, and he doesn't. Let's see. Will didn't know much. Will said it was because he was really only 18 and had not even started college yet. Spacey had been at the bar while Will spoke to the manager, but came back to Will when the conversation ended. So imagine this. You're a kid. You work at a bar, right? Maybe you've got some higher connected like parents, but for the most part, you literally just work at a bar and you're about to start college, and then you're hanging out with Kevin Spacey all of a sudden. Spacey asked Will if he wanted a drink, and Will said, "Yes, a Stella." The drink buying continued throughout the night. Will estimated the first drink was prior to 12:30 a.m., with the bar being open pretty late, and Will thinking he was there until 1:30. So this only occurred over about an hour to an hour and a half time span. Will said the bar typically closes at 2. Will described that night as busy and crowded. Will said that they were near the front door, and then he and Spacey moved to where the piano was. Ooh. The drinks continued constantly through the whole night. Things started to get a little fuzzy when Will and Spacey went over to the piano. Will said that he had at least 4 or 5 beers before Spacey said they should switch to whiskey, adding, "Let's get drunk." I'd be like, "I'm already drunk at 4. Will said he and Spacey had 4 or 5 glasses of whiskey. Spacey was buying drinks for just the two of them. Oh my goodness. But the manager may have sometimes bought drinks for them. Will thought it was mostly just the two of them. Will said there were 3 or 4 drinks prior to going over to the piano, and he wasn't sure what they were talking about or while at the table. At the piano, Will said they were doing sing-alongs, and Spacey had his arm around Will. Will said he hadn't had any drinks before Spacey bought him the first beer. Okay, so we're at a piano. Kevin Spacey's buying you drinks left and right, and now Kevin Spacey puts his arm around your waist. Because Kevin Spacey's been buying you drinks the whole night, and you've been accepting them. Okay. Will did say while they were at the table, they spoke about his girlfriend, and Spacey asked how long they'd been dating. Will told him 5 months, and Spacey said that was nothing. Will had been texting her, and Spacey told him to stop talking to her. "Oh, stop talking to that girl. I'm Kevin Spacey, and I'm old and sexy." That's not in the complaint. The bar was noisy with people talking and the piano playing. Spacey asked Will what he was packing. Oh my God. Hang on. Spacey asked Will what he was packing, and Will knew what he meant due to the context of the conversation they were having about Will's girlfriend. Will told Spacey he was average, and Spacey told Will his dick was 8 inches long. Will said he did not know how to respond to that. Will said there wasn't much. That should be the headline. Why is no news story writing that? Kevin Spacey tells man his dick is 8 inches long. Will said there wasn't much else prior to the piano as far as conversation went. Will said he was wearing shorts and a button-down shirt. Will described the shirt as red. Loose button-down shirt. Good story. What are you packing? Oh my goodness, can you imagine? Will said they had both headed over to the piano together. They were singing along together, having a good time. The piano player was one of two guys who play the club car all summer. Will said that they went to the piano before 1 a.m. This seems like the piano is like such a focal point of this story. It's like, is the piano like an hour away or like a mile away? It's like, oh, we got to go to the piano. Maybe it is. Maybe the piano is like its own little room, right? Jeez. Okay, hang on. Lost my spot. He said he and Spacey exchanged numbers before they went to the piano. He gave Kevin Spacey his number. Spacey told Will he would be there for the rest of the week. Spacey said he was going to the brewery and they should exchange numbers so they could meet up later. Spacey knew Will worked at Club Car. Will said drinks were still coming while they were at the piano. Will remembered the bartenders were Peggy and Dave. Will felt they knew he was there and that he was with Spacey. Will felt they knew he was there and that he was with Spacey. Oh, meaning like just physically hanging out? So like they could interview the bartenders and be like, did you see this occur? They were mostly just singing at the bar. When around 1 a.m., they went outside to smoke a cigarette. Will doesn't usually smoke, so Spacey was the one who brought it up. They went to the back bench behind Club Car. There, Spacey asked Will if he wanted to go back to his house with his friends. Will told Spacey he had to work the next day and that he had to get home because he was staying with his grandma. Will said he didn't want to go back to Spacey's because the request seemed weird based on Spacey's earlier comment about his dick. Will said he saw that comment as a red flag and did not want to go back to Spacey's house. Okay. That's in his head, though. He didn't say that to Kevin Spacey. He said that to the interviewer. However, he's making an excuse to, like, I don't want to go to your house. Spacey pressed Will on going over to his house and said a ride home wouldn't be a problem. They would get a taxi or an Uber. Spacey told Will he could have that picture he wanted. It all seemed like a come-on to Will. He thought Kevin Spacey was gay and trying to get him back to his house. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Kevin Spacey's, like, drunk and hitting on you. They finished smoking the cigarette outside and then went back inside to the piano. Will was uncomfortable when they were inside. Will only lingered around because he wanted a picture with Spacey, something for Instagram. You're about to be raped by Kevin Spacey. However, more importantly, Instagram likes, so, you know. Spacey had told him, if you come back with me, I will take a picture with you. Fair trade. Fair trade. Will had asked earlier, but Spacey had said no because then he'd have to take pictures with everyone. Spacey did sign his autograph on a torn menu for Will and Molly. Will's autograph said, your turn at drinks, and Molly's said, always smiles. Don't know what that means. Spacey signed the autographs in the area of the piano before they went outside. Spacey was persistent in trying to get Will back to his house. When they went back to the piano, it was still very crowded. Spacey was standing in front of Will to Will's right. Spacey used his left hand and started rubbing Will's thigh. Okay, so they're standing. And then Spacey's hand starts rubbing his thigh. Are we still live? Is everyone still with me in the chat? Okay, is this getting boring? Because this is important that you know this. This is the most important thing that's happened this week. Okay. Spacey used his left hand and started rubbing Will's thigh. Spacey worked his way up to Will's zipper. Will said this happened quickly. Spacey's Spacey has got an unzipped pants. Spacey's unzipped his pants. Will wasn't sure if Spacey went into his pants through the open zipper, but over Will's pants and boxer shorts, putting his hand on Will's penis. Will described it as a sexual manner. Will was asked to expound upon that, and he described Spacey to be rubbing his dick. That's in the official report? Why would they put dick? Will didn't know what to do. He didn't want to get in trouble at work or get his work in trouble. He knows he's only 18. He's not supposed to be drinking, and he's not supposed to be drinking at his work. While Spacey touched his penis, Will was texting and Snapchatting. Will thinks the touching went on for about 3 minutes. Okay, so he reaches over. He's reached, let's say, inside the pants, but he's not 100% sure. Or if he went through the thing, right? He's rubbing your penis, and you're texting, right? Will thinks the touching went on for about three. He doesn't do anything yet. Spacey goes back and forth in and out of his pants several times, more than two or three times, but closer to several times. Huh? More than two or three times, but closer to several. Would you call it closer to two or three or closer to several? Spacey continued the touching through the top of Will's pants. He didn't go in through the thigh. Not thigh. No information so far on if he became hard or semi-erect during this. Because that, I feel like that, from a legal standpoint, doesn't make any difference. But from my emotional standpoint, it does. Spacey didn't say anything before he touched Will, or during the touching, or after the touching. Will didn't say anything to Spacey either. Okay, so you're just both standing there, one's rubbing another. Oh, damn it. Will didn't say anything to Spacey either. Will could have moved away, but it was crowded. Will didn't get an erection, and he said he wasn't gay. Will described it as Spacey trying to jack him off the way Spacey was playing with his dick, but Will wasn't erect. Will tried to shift away with his body and move Spacey's hands away with his hands, but Spacey kept reaching down his pants. Now, this is going to be the key paragraph. Will tried to shift away. First of all, I'm mad that there was a comment on becoming erect, and I was just being funny about that. But there it is, right after I said that. Will tried to shift away with his body and move Spacey's hands away with his hands. So, like, you'd push it away, but Spacey kept reaching down his pants. That's going to be the one sentence that determines whether or not this is a chargeable offense or committable. What's the thing that happens when you're convicted? A convictable offense. Will said his girlfriend did not believe him. So that's when he Snapchatted them. He's like, hey, Kevin Spacey's trying to rape me. And the girlfriend's like, LOL, yeah, right. Will said his girlfriend did not believe him. So that's when he Snapchatted a video. The video is one of the last times Spacey touched him. Will said he had his phone in his left hand, and he may have had a glass of whiskey in his right hand. Spacey then stopped and left to go to the bathroom. Will couldn't remember if he approached a woman or if a woman approached him, but she saw he was in distress. Okay, so a woman appears. He doesn't remember whether he went to her or she came to him. Will told her he thought Kevin Spacey was trying to rape him. She told him to go. So he did. She said, oh, okay, leave. Will went out the back door and ran up Main Street until he got home to 26 Milk Street. Milk Street. Will was shown the video he said was of Spacey touching him, and Will was wearing a blue shirt. Will said that was right. It was a blue shirt. Spacey was wearing a ball cap, a gray tweed blazer, and pants. While he was on his way home, about halfway up Main Street, Will received a text from Spacey saying, I think we lost each other. So that's because Will left. Spacey went to the bathroom. Will left. Spacey comes out, goes, where's my little boyfriend? Oh, I can't find him. So he texts saying, I think we lost each other. Will did not respond to the text. Will got home and woke up his sister, Kayla, to tell her what happened. Kayla then called their mom. His parents were home in Dover, but Will's mother came to the island the next day. Kayla told Will he woke up around 4 a.m. and started pacing around the room. Kayla told Will he woke up around 4 a.m. Paragraph Q. Will said the whole thing was embarrassing and has not had a profound emotional effect on him. Will told his friends about it, and he makes jokes about it because that's his way. Will called police because he doesn't want what happened to him to happen to anyone else. At the end of the interview, Will said he still went to work the next day, told the owner Joe what happened because he wanted to leave if Spacey came back. Meaning, hey, by the way, Kevin Spacey touched me, and if Kevin Spacey comes back, can I leave? Joe asked him if it was his first time being hit on by a guy. Will said his mother told him that day to call the police, but Will did not want to get anyone in the bar in trouble. Will described the woman who told him to leave as in her 30s or 40s, pretty blonde, but he'd never seen her before. I asked Will if he'd been drunk before, and Will said he'd been drunk a lot and has blacked out before. Will said his senior year was very good. I asked Will if he blacked out that night, and Will said not at the restaurant, but he didn't remember pacing around like his sister said. Oh boy, the interview concluded. That is the interview with Will. So, we will find out. Kevin Spacey has been charged with sexual assault on Will for standing next to a piano and touching him. Is it sexual assault, right? Because to be sexual assault, it has to be non-consensual. Is it non-consensual the moment you push a man's hand away and the man goes back and touches you again? I don't know, right? A lot of people say unwanted sexual contact, right? But unwanted can't necessarily be, like, you can not want something but still consent, let's just say. Was Will consenting by not moving away? Probably not. Probably not. But is there enough evidence to say that Kevin Spacey definitely did the thing? We'll find out. Probably not. Head on over to his YouTube and watch a video. All right, we are nearing the end of the show. Disney Channel actor arrested for allegedly enticing a minor. 48-year-old Disney Channel actor on a family show that films in Utah was arrested Friday after allegedly arranging online to have sex with someone he believed was 13. Stoney Westmoreland was arrested for investigation of enticing a minor by internet or text, a second-degree felony, four counts of dealing in materials harmful to a minor. According to an affidavit, which I cannot get, it's not posted, the actor was communicating online with a user he believed to be underage on an internet app used for dating and meeting people for the purpose of engaging in sexual activity, so either Grindr or Tinder. Westmoreland asked the person to engage in acts with him and to send nude photos, police said. He also sent pornographic photos, according to the affidavit. Salt Lake City Police Department and the Child Exploitation Task Force arrested Westmoreland when he took a ride-sharing service to pick up the person he believed was a teen. So he took an Uber over to the kid's house, was like, hey, here I am. He plays the title character's grandfather in the sitcom Andy Mack. So if you guys have watched the Disney Channel, watch Andy Mack, because Stoney Westmoreland is no longer allowed on that show. According to the headline, cyberbullying is now a crime in Michigan, and it's punishable by jail time. Is this true? Here's how the article reads. We've got news for you. Oh, sorry. Here's how the article reads. We've got bad news for you, Metro Times trolls. Cyberbullying is now a crime in Michigan. On Thursday, Rick Snyder signed into law a bill sponsored by some other guy that formally defines cyberbullying as a misdemeanor crime punishable up to 93 days in jail. According to the law, a pattern of repeated harassment is a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. Meanwhile, cyberbullying that is found to cause a victim's death is punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a $10,000 crime. No. This is not what happened. Let's read the actual bill. And actually, if you read this article, it does say. The bill's text states, the law... Section 1, a person shall not cyberbully another person. End of law. Just kidding. We got to jump to the definitions to find out what cyberbully means. Because anyone could say, ah, cyberbully. That's if you post mean something on the internet and say a person's mom is fat. Like, we could go back to the beginning of the show and be like, oh, people are cyberbullying those parents because they say their kid is obese. No. According to the definition of the bill, cyberbully includes posting a message or statement in a public media forum about any other person if both of the following apply. The message or statement is intended to place a person in fear of bodily harm or death and expresses an intent to commit violence against the person. That's way different than saying you're fat. Two, the message or statement is posted with the intent to communicate a threat with the intent to communicate a threat or with knowledge that it will be viewed as a threat. So you could even say, LOL, you're so fat, I hope you eat enough fish and die. Right? But if you have the intent that it was a joke, then technically the law doesn't apply. Anyway, and then it becomes a worse crime if there's a pattern. So a pattern of harassing or intimidating behavior means a series of two or more separate non-continuous acts of harassing or intimidating behavior. So if you're going to cyberbully or threaten, do it all in one long sentence. That way it doesn't become a pattern and you can only be charged with a misdemeanor, not a felony. So that's a law in Michigan now. And everyone's like, but how does Michigan enforce it? Because what if you're not in Michigan, but someone is in Michigan? Or what if someone's in Michigan, but the server that you cyberbullied them on is hosted in Texas? Nobody knows, because this is what happens when states write laws. They just write the law, and then they later go, I'm pretty sure we can enforce that because the bits of data transferred over the internet in a cable and then showed up in text form on your screen. Therefore, Michigan jurisdiction applies. Does it? Who knows? All right. This has been News with Nick. We've been doing this for over an hour, so I do have to wrap up. Thank you for sticking it out. And Kevin Spacey is a big gay, which really, when you think about it, that's the real... No, never mind. Anyway, he comes out with it. Remember when he first got accused? He was like, I choose to live my life as a gay man. And everyone's like, oh, well, in that case, that gets him out of all of the crimes he's been accused of. So this happens. And he's like, I'm still gay. I'm even gayer now. Right? I hope he starts his own House of Cards right on his own YouTube channel. And then we just tune in every week where he gives an update as to how the court case is going in character. Right? That'd be amazing. All right. Let's see what the chat's saying. Applause. Thank you very much. News with Nick, and have a happy new. So that Stony Westmoreland thing, I couldn't find the affidavit. I only found the person who wrote the original article about it. So I emailed her. I was like, hey, can you email me that affidavit? This is Nick from newswithnick.com. No reply. To be fair, I emailed it yesterday, so she's probably not even at work.